This week's episode of the Dive Podcast is brought to you by Neil Kelly, a leader in the design, installation, and maintenance of residential solar energy systems in Oregon. Visit neilkelly.com/solar to learn more and to schedule a complimentary solar assessment, or call them at 503-288-7461. Make a difference every day. Join Albertina Kerr as a caregiver, helping people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. You'll get great benefits, plus a $2,000 sign-on bonus. Apply for caregiver roles at albertinakerr.org/careers. Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show. It's Saturday, March 26th, and this is episode 64 of The Dive. This week's cover story is the official announcement of Portland's Funniest Five, Willamette Week's long-running annual comedy showcase featuring comedians nominated and voted on by members of what cover package editor and my first guest, Bennett Campbell Ferguson, describes as Portland's broad and diverse comedy ecosystem. Well, this year's ecosystem has selected, excuse my gendered language, all dudes, cis guys, males of the species, men's. All right. That's not necessarily uncommon for such a long-running showcase in a city with, like, a lot of guys doing comedy. And even our number one comedy draft pick, even our cover boy, my second guest today, Brian Bixby, admitted the list was by no means either definitive or even an accurate representation of the comedy scene before firing off a list of his own favorite femme comedians on a must-see list. Don't get me wrong. Props to the lineup and everything. Super funny guys. But, still, it stings a little, right? Not one lady or gender nonconformist on the list? In this economy? In my America? This year's Funniest Five isn't definitive. How could it be? Humor is subjective, and we're all experiencing life through highly specialized lenses. So maybe the Funniest Five is less of a pageant title and more of a candid snapshot of comedy right now. And big dude energy is just what's in sharpest focus. Because, like, when is it not? Am I right, ladies? My interviews with Bennett and Brian are coming right up, but first, here are five things I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Multnomah County Sheriff's Department might merge with PPD, depending on who wins the first contested sheriff's race in over a decade. Portland Police want a mental health budget that includes potential meditation, fitness, nutrition, yoga, and even personal finance certifications to help retain staff and to entice new hires. Prosper Portland wants to Pearl Districtify East Portland by convincing the city that they won't Pearl Districtify East Portland. There's a restaurant named Gaviano's that makes deep-fried mozzarella shot glasses. Lori Wolf is a cannabis icon who uses her culinary sense to make some of the best edibles in Portland. And those are five things I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Now, back to the pod. Hi, Bennett. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Okay, so this week we're talking about Portland's Funniest Five dudes. Well, first of all, what goes into putting together the Funniest Five?
The votes get tallied from people across the Portland's comedy community, not just stand-up comedians, bookers, promoters. I wrote the profile of the number one pick, Brian Bixby. The one was done by Andy Pruitt. The others were done by freelancers. And so it was just kind of, you know, organizing all of that, putting it together, and then also looking at you know, other comedy showcases across the city that we wanted to recommend, you know, some of which actually include people in this year's Funniest Five, but some of which don't. And I think, as you rightly pointed out, this year it's the five funniest dudes. And, you know, I think part of, you know, looking at some other showcases was to say, hey, you know, these are the people that the voters chose this year, but also this should not be considered a definitive representation of all that's out there in terms of stand-up. So we wanted to celebrate the Funniest Five, but also look beyond it, and you'll give people a sense of the scope of stand-up in Portland.
Sure. I've noticed that it is, like, if you go back into old, like, if you go back into past winners and look, go through it, it is kind of like a pendulum. Like, it's like a bunch of white dudes and then a woman and then a black dude and then maybe another couple of women will win, and then the pendulum swings back and it's a bunch of white dudes again, which I wonder, like, how do comedians get onto the ballot in the first place?
It's stand-ups, but it's also, you know, just basically anyone who's involved in the world of comedy in Portland and getting into it and, you know, learning the ropes. I mean, that was something that was interesting to me that, you know, I mean, some of these people, like, are not, you know, stand-ups in the traditional sense. They're podcasters or they're improvisers. And in some cases, you know, these are people who are kind of maybe not stand-up comedians in the traditional sense, but involved with it. Like, one of the showcases we spotlighted was Comedy the Musical. And, you know, improvisers are involved in that. You have stand-ups doing material, and then you have people improvising songs based on that material. So,
oh, I love that.
It's kind of the whole comedy ecosystem, I guess.
What was left out? Was there anything left out of the cover package?
You know, I think my favorite thing is Jaron George, who is voted the third funniest person. He has a bit he does where he gives his audience Kit Kat bars and then takes them back. Which I think that's just my favorite thing, you know, because as someone with a sweet tooth, you know, I can only imagine how excited I would be if I got a free Kit Kat bar, and then to have it taken back, just I'd be like laughing and also horrified. I just think that's kind of one of the things that sort of symbolizes the genius of this group of people.
That's so funny. I would have eaten the candy bar as soon as he put it in my hand. I watched that bit on YouTube, and I thought, oh my god, I would have eaten it. That would have been me. I would have eaten that.
Oh, so would I. Yeah, maybe.
Sorry about it. That's the name of the game. Were there any funny stories that got left on the cutting room floor?
Not really, honestly. My only regret, more general, is that all of them, I wish, you know, we could have just gotten a little more in depth in terms of their life stories, because I think all of them, you know, have you know, really interesting lives that inform their material, and some of them reveal really really personal stuff.
Yeah, they all have, like, really different POVs. Because I watched a little bit of Riley McCarthy's stuff online too. I was,
yes.
What the hell was? He's super funny too. Everybody's super funny. It's a really great lineup this year. So, what can people expect from the live show?
Surprise! I hear one of the comedians. One of them is gonna do something that I think will maybe delight people and make them uncomfortable in a good way. So there's going to be some antics.
All right.
And new material, you know, you're going to get to see these people, I think, do some stuff that is probably going to be on the usual bits that people might be familiar with. So it should be exciting.
Awesome. But you heard it here, folks. Exciting. New material. Fantastic. Mind-blowing. It's going to be amazing. Thank you so much for your time today, Bennett.
Thank you, Brianna.
Brian, hello. Thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
And congratulations on being Portland's funniest person.
Thank you. Thank you.
How does it feel?
I love the recognition. It's nice to, you know, have that, but also it brings up a lot of insecurities.
Really?
If you're like telling people, oh, this is the funniest person in the city, like it seems just so crazy to me, because I'm like, there's so many people who are probably funnier, and I just go on stage. It makes me feel like, I don't know, I walk around and I'm afraid that somebody's going to recognize me to out-funny me in the streets. Like I'm going to get sucked into some, like, street roast battle or something.
Oh, come on. Well, you're equipped. You're the funniest person. Come on.
Yeah.
Is your, how long have you been doing comedy for?
I guess that would go back to, like, I always wanted to do comedy. When, like, I was, as long as I can remember, since I was, like, a real little kid, I started writing jokes when I was probably, like, 10 years old. And then when I was 15, I did a show at my high school. And so that was the first time I did stand-up, was for my high school.
Did you kill?
Yeah, I did good. It kind of changed things for me in school. It felt like after that, people, like, respected me more because they laughed. Everybody laughed. So it was like, yeah, I became something different after that. It felt like,
oh, the power of comedy.
Pretty much from that point, I would do maybe two or three sets a year at like talent shows and stuff. It was a small town, so there weren't any open mics.
Where are you from?
I'm from a town called Lafarge, Wisconsin.
Lafarge, Wisconsin. When did you move to Portland?
I moved here in 2015. I came here to do comedy.
You came here to do comedy. Okay, so I'm sorry. Take me back to Lafarge, and then.
Yeah. I will say it's pronounced Lafarge.
Oh, like
with an A. I figure if anybody that I know happened to listen to it, they might be like, hey, it's because people, even the towns around there, would call it Lafarge all the time.
Okay, I don't want to get dragged in the comments.
You wouldn't.
Tell me all about Lafarge's comedy scene.
There's not much to tell. I was I was the only comedian in town, and I was known as the town comedian.
Of all of the places to move for comedy, but a lot of the winners of the Funniest Five have moved on from Portland. A lot of them are living in Los Angeles now. Are you going to defect?
I'll probably end up going somewhere. Yeah, I'll probably end up defecting. I think, yeah, everybody does. I think it's a good, the way that, like, I've heard a lot of comedians, like, professionals put it, is it's good to stay. You know, you spend the first, you know, a lot of people, like 3 to 5 years in your like incubator city, and then you can go to like a bigger scene. And it's not really even so much about going to a bigger place for me. Like, I do kind of want to go to New York, is sort of my like holy mecca, because it's very stand-up oriented. Like, they really, you know, it's very focused on, whereas LA is kind of like acting stuff, what I've heard. But it's also just about getting to a different place in the country. You know, like, I've been doing stand up here in the Northwest for my entire time doing stand up. And
so when we kicked it off, you were saying that maybe you felt a little like maybe you weren't the funniest guy, and that maybe you were going to get punked about that a little bit. How do you feel about the Funniest Five this year being all dudes?
I mean, it's definitely, like, it's not definitive, and there are so many more funny people than the five, and so many of them are women. Like, I know so many funny women that are, like, you know, I really hope that people don't look at it and be like, these are supposed to be the funniest people, the other people aren't. And it's like, well, no, there's a lot of funny people in time. And a lot of them are women. I mean, yeah, I hope nobody would look at that and be like, oh, see, it's, see, men are funniest, because that's definitely not true. There's so many people who, you know, everybody on the list this year does work hard, does, like,
oh yeah, it's a great
well
lineup
on stage and wants to do well. I've known most of them my entire time doing comedy.
Yeah, I was talking to Bennett earlier today, and we kind of talked about how it kind of bounces between like an all male lineup, and then, you know, another year there'll be mostly women and, you know, a token guy, and then, yeah, you know, like it kind of bounces back and forth. But
I know for like most of the time that I've been here, like, I think this is, so this will be the sixth or maybe the fifth or sixth funniest five that I've seen, and it's been pretty swapped each year. It's,
yeah,
for,
totally,
like, especially for the cover, like, you'll have like the first year I was here, it was Adam Posse, and the next year it was like Joanne Schinderly, I think, and then like it switches on and off, you know. If you look back, there's so many women who have been on the list, so I think it's kind of unfair to even look at the scene or anything as being like trying to push women out, because there are a lot of funny women who have been,
sure,
recognized.
Let's give them their flowers. Who are your favorite femme comedians in the game right now?
Like I said, Tori Ward. She's my roommate and been a good friend of mine since I started. There's a comic. There's Elena C. Hayden is another really funny comic. Julia Carell is one of my favorites. Amelia Evans is a new girl who's funny. Amanda Arnold is, I think she's been on the list before.
That was a lot of flowers.
Yeah, I mean, I try to. I don't want to, yeah, I don't, I want to make sure that I get enough people in there, but, you know, I and then of course I put pressure on myself and I start blanking on names.
Oh no.
Now I'm forgetting every person that I know in comedy.
It's an Oscar speech moment, right? There's always going to be somebody to forget.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what are you going to do with your title?
I mean, you know, I...
Does the booking fee go...
Yeah, hope to, well, at least, you know, even if the fee doesn't go up, at least the number of shows, you know, I'm hoping to get a few more dates in, you know, and yeah, it would be nice for the fee to go up a little bit, maybe get a little higher spot up on the list, maybe, you know, headlining some stuff and all that, kind of push myself forward with that.
Do you have any, like, tours planned or anything?
No, not yet. I really want to go on one this year. In the last year, pretty much since comedy came back from the pandemic, I started doing a lot more, you know, on the road, but just in, like, all around Oregon and then up in Washington a bunch. But I really want to make a trip. I really want to make a trip, like, cross country. I want to go, and go through, like, Montana and do comedy and go back to Wisconsin and do comedy, you know. And I want to make my way out to the East Coast and, you know, see how New York is and everything, you know, if I'm thinking about moving there. But that's in the works still for hopefully later this year. That's, like, the next step in comedy. It's like you spend the first few years just trying to figure out how to do it, you know, how to be good at it and write jokes and go on stage, and then you kind of move on from that to, like, figuring out, okay, how do I actually turn this skill into a career, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that, you know, maybe with some of the funniest person recognition, I hope that can help me with some of that.
So the year ahead for our current reigning funniest five comedian is ideally a nationwide tour that takes him through Lafarge and then to NYC, where he may plant roots to represent us in the future, possibly.
Yeah.
Where can your fans find you online today?
Yeah, right now, my Instagram is probably, I'm really trying to build that up more. It's Bixby Comedian on Instagram. Pretty much everywhere else is Brian Bixby. You know, I got TikTok, I got Twitter, and all of that. It's just, yeah, my name, Brian Bixby. It's always, I always got to tell people it's Brian with a Y and Bixby with an X, because... Yeah, people always think it's Brian with an I, and it's Bixby. Yeah,
that can be your super secret spy name.
Yeah, it could. That could be. If I ever write a book, I'll just be Brian Bixby.
Brian Bixby. Awesome. Okay, thank you so much for talking with me today, Brian. I super enjoyed this.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Absolutely. And congratulations again. And hopefully we'll talk again soon. Big thanks to my guests for this week's pod, Brian Bixby and Bennett Campbell Ferguson. And thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, bye!